Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Acts chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. Just read verse 8 and by way of introduction. Let's stand together. And I'm going to preach this morning after the resurrection. And if this were to fit into our calendar and Jesus rose a week ago today, Sunday morning, first day of the week, he would ascend a week from, it'd be a little bit different. It'd be hard for me to pick the date because we're at the end of the month. Forget it. I won't tell you when. But just figure, man, he was on this earth and he ministered for 40 days, all right, before the ascension. And at the ascension, I want to preach a little bit about the ascension, what it means to me, what it means to you. We know what the resurrection means. We serve a living God. Yes. We serve a God who, the price he paid on the cross was enough for my sin. And it was enough for your sin and enough for the sins of 1,000 worlds like this world. 7 billion people, 100 times over, one drop of the blood of the Son of God, of deity, could cleanse this world and all those other worlds of sin. And so it's enough. That's the resurrection. Now, he ascended for a purpose. That's what I'm going to preach this morning. I've got 5 or 6, maybe 7 points. I may not preach them all. It doesn't matter that I preach them all. You might want to write some of them down because Jesus right now, he's at the throne of God for you. Let's start with, look at verse 8 and then I'll pray. I know you know verse 8. But ye shall receive power, that's dunamos, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and that will be the day of Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses, that's the word martos, martyrs, unto me both in Jerusalem, that's our home area, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we pray for an anointing, an unction. We ask God that you would work through the preaching of your word, as halted as it is, and as inadequate as it is, and as much as I search for words sometimes. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enable, would take the word of God, would put the whole doctrine of the ascension together in just a few moments so that even the lightest Christian here, the one that is the shallowest, will have some understanding and get some meat and grow thereby. And for the saints of God that are mature in the faith, their hearts will ring and Lord, they'll rejoice. And Father, we'd all be better prepared to serve you. And then Father, if there's someone here or listening or watching that is not born again, And they just kind of do this religious thing. It's all they have. Oh God, don't let them go to hell. Lord, help them to understand what you did on the cross and what you did by way of resurrection and what you did and are doing at the ascension and are doing even yet today. God, we're grateful for the fact that you're the living God. Please speak to us this morning as a church. We need to get down the road a little bit. We need to get more accomplished for the glory of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this week we saw several people saved, and I alluded to it in Sunday school, and I think every one of them that I'm aware of, you can trace back to somebody handing out a gospel tract. You know that silly thing that we're doing on Sunday night where we're holding one another accountable, and that silly thing where you humble yourself just a little bit and hand out a gospel tract, say, I could never do that. Oh yeah, you could if you get filled with the Spirit of God. If you just empty yourself of your pride just a little bit, you could do that, and you'll have opportunities. That's how God does it. And I was able to lead another man to the Lord this week. I shared it in our prayer alert, and it actually happened in the unfinished men's restroom over there where he got on his knees right by where the vanities are right now. He got on his knees and prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins and come into his heart and be his eternal Savior. And he got up, and man, he was excited. And then I heard word this week of a man that I led to the Lord a couple weeks ago that told his boss, who was not saved, that he got born again while he was here working at the church. That's amazing. Now, I said that to say this. So, Thursday chapel. The tile work is just about all done in the men's room. The men's room looks good. We haven't got the coffee machine in there yet, but it looks really good. All right. And the kids are coming, the little boys and the little girls coming from the elementary school. High school, they come from down here. The elementary school, they come from over there. And they're all excited about the bathroom because the ladies' room is really nice. And the palace over here. And then now the men's room. And these little boys are sticking their heads in. Whoa, look at that. And they're competing a little bit. Oh, it's not as nice as the ladies' room. That's what the girls are saying. And a little little boy, I think it might have been Josiah, sticks his head in there and says, and the guy's still in there working. One guy in there working. Looked around the corner and said, that's, and all these little heads are sticking around the corner. That's amazing. And then Wyatt said, you know what's really amazing? A man got saved in here this week. And the guy was right in there. He heard that our little boys were excited about someone getting saved. That's amazing. That is really amazing. You know what's really amazing? God saved me. God saved Tim Rader. I know what a wretch I am. That is amazing. It is amazing that we serve the God. It's amazing that God still saves souls. And it's amazing that God can save anybody, anywhere, even a restroom, anywhere, if they just hear the gospel. Man, I just simply handed him a gospel tract. What's this? I just kind of went down the road a little bit. That's a gospel tract. Tell you how. Hey, you got a minute. Nobody's here. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. He got saved at 7 a.m. We were the only ones in the building. And received Jesus as a Savior. That salvation is an amazing salvation. We serve a living God. For 40 days, Jesus walked on this earth in his resurrected body. For 40 days, he laughed. He sang. He ate. He appeared. He did about 13 times. We have on holy record of him appearing in his resurrected body. That's amazing. And he was telling all of the people that would listen, I'm alive. I'm alive just like I told you I was going to be alive. And then we go to Acts in chapter 1. I'm not preaching Acts 1. I've preached Acts 1 as I preached through the book of Acts at least 2 times. I'm not preaching verse 8 this morning. But I want you to have a little understanding about the ascension. Why did Jesus have to go? Why didn't he just stay here? Let me give you a little outline. It's not fancy. It's factual. Salvation was planned by God the Father. He planned it. Before the foundations of the world, before you were ever a sinner, he made a way. Salvation was provided by God the Son. He was on this earth for 33 years. He received a body that he might shed his blood as a man, as a God-man in our place. And salvation and the gospel is powered by God the Holy Spirit. God the Father in heaven made the plan. God the Son, God the Father sent his Son to this earth. He died on the cross, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, provided blood atonement, and then he rose from the dead. And that was God's amen. And then God the Son had to go home so God the Spirit could come and the church could be born and we would be empowered and enabled to do the work of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, that means friend of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. That's what I'm preaching on this morning, the ascension. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after the cross, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, then speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You realize when Jesus was on this earth in his resurrected body, his physical resurrected body, he taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them about the days to come. He prepared them for the church age. It says, and being assembled together, by the way, they congregated. That's what a church does. It isn't enough to watch live stream or listen to a radio broadcast. That's a poor second or maybe a poor third. But they congregated, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, or to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, this is what you got to be concerned about, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Put your finger right there, and let me just say this real quickly. Verse 8 is talking about right now. Right now. Jesus, in his resurrected body, ministered these things to Luke and the other disciples, and Luke, he writes it down, all right? But verse 8, that isn't talking about Jesus in his resurrected body before the ascension, the first 7 verses are, but verse 8, that's the church age. Don't you worry about the times or the seasons. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, day of Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, we support a lot of missionaries. We're a mission-minded church. And I didn't realize, you know, it's hard to visualize it. Look back there at that world map back there. That's our missionaries that we're supporting around the world. Man, look at that. That's pretty powerful looking. It really is. And I'm excited about that. And we're going to add more to it again this summer. Because we have a mandate, and that's the Great Commission. We can take care of our Jerusalem. That's where we're at, right here. We hand out those gospel tracts. We witness to people. And under the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's, of course, that's our mission program. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. This is the ascension. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus, when he ascended physically. He ascended visibly. And he ascended in the clouds. He said he's going to come in so like manner. When Jesus comes again for his church, he will come physically. It won't be a spiritual second coming. Not a spiritual rapture like some of the cults say. He will rapture us physically. He will rapture us visibly. And he'll be in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's pretty encouraging. Let's read the next verse. Verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner, physically, visibly, in the clouds, as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, and there abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And then the day of Pentecost takes place. I'll skip ahead to the next chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'm preaching the ascension this morning. We tend to oversell ourselves and undersell God. We cannot oversell Calvary. We cannot oversell the resurrection. And I would tell you, according to God's plan, we cannot oversell the ascension. Because Jesus said, in order for the Helper to come, in order for the Holy Spirit to come, then he needed to leave. So why is it that Jesus ascended on up into heaven? Why did he do it exactly the way he did it? And I remind you again of this before I give you the first point. Our God is not a little God. Our God, our Redeemer, is not in the grave. He conquered death. He rose again on the third day. He is living. I know a lot of Christians live their lives like he's not alive and he doesn't know what's going on. And you can kind of hide things from him. That's not the case. We understand that by way of the word of God. He is a living God, Jehovah. He is omniscient. He knows all. He is everywhere. And he ascended up into heaven and he did it visibly and physically and he did it into the clouds. And they were standing there just with their jaws dropped open as Jesus ascended on up into the heavens. And two angels said, what are you staring at the sky for? You've got a job to do. He's going to come again. He told you he was, didn't he? He'll come again. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come visibly. And he's going to come physically. You can count on it. You've got a job to do. Receive that power. Be that witness. Well, why did Jesus ascend? Number one, he ascended because his work on earth was done. It was done. Go to Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If Jesus were dead in the grave, our sins would not be paid for. But the work of the cross was finished. In John 19 and verse 30, he said, it is finished. It's done. Nothing else has to happen. No more sacrificial lambs. No more sacrificial bulls. You no longer need to meet on the Day of Atonement. Man, it isn't like you got to sacrifice any more animals. They were all pictures. It's done. It's done. It's done. The work on the cross is enough. It says here in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 5. Just says, go ahead to verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt off, this is God the Son talking to God the Father. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, thou hast had no pleasure. Didn't get it done. Wasn't enough. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I got to read a couple more verses. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. From henceforth, I'll just stop right there. So he offered himself one time. He did what all of the Old Testament sacrifices could not accomplish, because all they were was they were just pictures. He came one time, one cross, one Mount Calvary, one time he shed his blood, one time he made blood atonement, and it was the very blood of God, one time he died in our behalf. And then he resurrected, and then he ascended, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He ascended because the work on earth was done. He ascended that he might intercede on your behalf and on my behalf. Here's the deal. We're in the church age. We have God the Holy Spirit. He indwells every New Testament believer. He's ordained the New Testament local churches. He says, go get them, sick them, get it done. You bear that torch, you bear that light to the whole world. You be that city that's set on a hill. You be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, you get the job done. I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will help you. But listen, you need to understand this. I'm going to be at the right hand of the throne of God, and I'll be interceding on your behalf. There is so much scripture concerning this. 1 John chapter 2, don't even turn there. Verse 1, he is our advocate. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he is our mediator. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, that's the ascension, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. We have a great high priest, he's passed into the heavens, his name is Jesus, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's our advocate. He's our defense attorney. He is there on our behalf. Look at chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews, and look at verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. The deepest, darkest, farthest sinner he is able to save, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You say, man, I think I got born again. I received Christ as my Savior, but I still sin. I got a problem. No problem. You have an intercessor. You have one who is the Son of God at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's interceding on your behalf. We read in the book of Revelation that there's one named Satan who is an accuser of the brethren. And he's willing to throw your sin in the face of God at every turn. But he can't get it done, no matter what kind of prosecutor he is, because we're saved by grace. Because we have an advocate, an intercessor, right there at the right hand of the throne of God. And the devil doesn't get an accusation, a word in sideways. Wow. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. I don't deserve that God man at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for me. And he's ever, the Bible says, everlasting, ever at it. He never takes a moment off. It's a good thing because I'm a big sinner. I'm saved by grace. And Jesus, and it's just like I prayed this morning in my own prayer time. I think we even prayed it together just before the service started. If Jesus, if not for your blood, if you're not my advocate, if you're not my mediator, if you're not there, I've got no help. I've got no hope. None. Because I'm still a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. That I have an intercessor. Jesus went home to heaven to be my intercessor. He ascended because the cross was finished. He ascended that he might intercede on your behalf and on my behalf. God is on the job. Amen. He is on the job. Amen. If you just piled up the sins that just the people in this congregation commit in a day, hundreds of people, but just in one day, one 24-hour period, if those sins were left without Christ, without the blood, where would we be? If just the sins of Tim Raider were to pile up in one 24-hour period, but they don't, I have an advocate. I have a mediator. My Jesus ascended on into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's because he is God. He ascended that the Holy Spirit might descend. John chapter 16, turn there quickly. John and chapter 16. Look what it says in John in chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. I must go. It is expedient for you that I go away. He's talking about the ascension. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. God has never left us alone. Never. Never. In his mind, he willed the church age, a 2,000-year dispensation of time, and we're in it. We're right at the end of it. We're experiencing it right now. And God the Son had to go home to ascend to the throne, to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, to be your advocate and to be my advocate. He offered his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. Man, it's the blood of God that takes away sin. Were it not for him, we'd have no hope. But it isn't enough that we get born again, and we couldn't get born again, by the way, without the Holy Spirit. He comes in and dwells us. He is the energizer. He's the one that does the finished work of the cross and accomplishes it in our lives. And then he guides us in all truth. And he teaches us. And he illuminates the word of God so we can understand it. And he helps us. He shepherds us along. That's how Jesus shepherds us. The Holy Spirit using the word of God and guides us through this treacherous life in which we live. He ascended that the Holy Spirit would descend. And I tell you again, God did not leave us alone. Another reason that Jesus ascended on up into heaven is so that the church would go. We couldn't go unless he went home and the Holy Spirit came. Mark 16 and verse 15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Take your Bibles and turn to the gospel of Matthew and chapter 28. We refer to it as the Great Commission. I know you know it, but turn there anyway. Matthew and chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. The command reads as follows. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's saying, here's our commission. Get them saved, get them baptized, and get them growing. Now, let's be real practical about this. Fundamental Baptist Church in the last year has been blessed of God, this COVID-19 time. We have. No denying. Man, it's been a good year. I never thought it would have been like it was, but it's been a great year in many ways, except one. And now I can hear the engines revving up again. And that's the gospel train. That's souls being saved week in our services, week after week after week. Last 2 weeks, people have gotten saved on Sunday morning. You know why? Because now hundreds of people are here again. I want to say this, and please take it right. And I know you know what I'm saying, unless you don't want to know what I'm saying. COVID-19 is real. We most of us know people that did die with complications of COVID-19. I mean, it's real. There's no denying that. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You understand what the devil has done, and many churches have experienced this, and we have as well. It's like the goal. Everything else was happening but the goal. Everything else was happening. Our buses, we're still not running our buses, and there's a reason for that. And that's a great evangelistic thrust, and we're going to get back to it again real soon. We got King's Kids. We got things rolling. I mean, God is blessing. And like I said, there were two men saved 2 weeks ago, a man and a woman saved last week, and people saved during the week this week. I mean, it's happening again. But if we allow fear is crippling. It's crippling. You know the list of people that go to hell in Revelation in chapter 21 and verse 8? You know what the first sin listed there is? The fearful. If the devil can get the church fearing death. I don't see that in the Apostle Paul's life, but if the devil can get the church fearing death, it's crippling. It is. You got to live life. Be smart about it, but live life. 17,000 people died last year by tripping. Almost a pandemic. You see, if you look at statistics, look at this one. 320,000 people died last year by drowning. 320,000. Do we wear life jackets everywhere we go? No, you got to live life. Now, if I'm out in the boat, I'm going to put a life jacket on because Tim Rader is not a great swimmer. But for me to be wearing a life jacket on that, I mean that. So don't let fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. How many times did Jesus say, don't be afraid? Don't be afraid. You've got to live life. There's going to be another COVID. There's going to be another pandemic. There's going to be a rash of crimes. There's going to be all these things. They're going to keep happening. What's it going to take to stop you from serving God? What's it going to take to stop you from being a soul winner? What's it going to take to stop you from accomplishing the will of God in your life? You cannot let fear cripple you. Jesus ascended. He went on home to heaven so that the Holy Spirit would come, and so the church would get the word go back in their life again. You got to live. You can't stay in a tower. You can't nail the door shut and be a hermit. Man, you got to tell people about Jesus. So let's get there. And by the way, will there be another round? I think we already had it. I truthfully do. And I think there'll be something else. And then there'll be something else. We got to keep serving God. And be logical about it. Got to keep serving God. He ascended to prepare heaven. Look at John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Jesus has been preparing heaven ever since he left. And I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, I got to go, fellas. I'm going. Calvary was just hours away from when he said this. I'm going to leave and I'm going to get things ready at home. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. He ascended that he might prepare heaven for us. The worst day in heaven is going to be better than the best day in hell. Tell you what. I don't even know if there will be a worst day in heaven. I don't know how to measure the magnitude of that. I've often said I'd rather live in a pup tent outside the city gates of heaven, of the New Jerusalem, than in the best place in the best hotel in hell. You know, those are kind of just comparisons is all they. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Jesus ascended, and one of the reasons he ascended was to go to prepare a place for us. He knows who are his. He knows those that have gotten saved. He knows those that have repented of their sin. Man, he's getting heaven ready for us. It's going to be a grand day when we finally get there. He ascended that he might prepare heaven. That's a great, great thought. I got a verse written down here, and I don't have any idea what it is. Let's together on an adventure right now, all right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise, this is Paul, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He ascended. Heaven's not far. Do you know that? It's 2021. Heaven's not far. I'm 64. Heaven's not far. When you're 25, you think you're going to live on this earth forever. It's not far. I'll let you in on a little morbid thought. I do funerals for 25-year-olds. It happens. You know, heaven's not far. Don't live in fear. Maybe you've got bad news and a health report. Don't live in fear. I mean, just live for God. He ascended also that he might come again. Did you know that? Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Verse 16. Just verse 16 through a couple of verses there. Before I read it, history is going somewhere. It's going somewhere. It's going to climax for you and for me with the rapture. We'll make that final step. We'll be snatched away off of this earth and we'll be brought into the presence of God. And at that moment, we'll be more alive than we ever were on this earth. History's going somewhere. That trumpet is going to sound. Man, and we're going to be out of here. And if you want to stay, that's fine. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I want to bring as many people with me as I can. And that's what's important. And that's why we are still here. And that's why Jesus ascended. So the church would go. We'd have the Holy Spirit and we would go. We wouldn't just be a social club, just be a gathering. As people of God, he ascended. He's gone to prepare heaven. He's ascended that he might come again. Let me read the text. Verse 16, stand with me, please. Verse 16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He ascended, he's going to descend. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's coming again.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.